we've had about 62 rabid animals so far this year. About three quarters of those have been bats, and one quarter have been skunks, and we had one rabid cat about 2 months ago in Dent County. Of course, when rabies gets into domestic animals, it's getting pretty close to home. Usually, in an entire year, Missouri sees on an average about 50 rabid animals, so we are obviously quite a bit above that. We've got a couple months left to go here, several months. And in fact, it was about this time last year that a man in Texas County, Missouri, was bitten by a rabid bat. That happened in the middle of October, and then about 6 weeks later, he developed the symptoms of rabies and died soon thereafter. He was bitten by the bat, but he did not seek medical attention. If he had, then he could have gotten the anti-rabies series of shots, which is essentially 100% effective when it's administered correctly. So we're trying to get the word out to people that rabies is a year-round threat in Missouri. Certainly some times of the year it's more of a threat, you know, during the spring and summer months when more animals are out and about and people are out and about and they're interacting with the animals. But, you know, year-round rabies is present in Missouri. Last year we had a rabid cow in January, so you just never know when it's going to raise its head.
So is that right, 55 cases just last month alone?
No.
Okay.
No.
I saw an article in the Kennett newspaper this morning that said an increase in animal rabies cases of 55 cases. Oh, as of September, that's when.
Year to date.
And since then, we're up another seven or so.
Right. Uh huh.
Well, is it a good idea if somebody gets bitten by an animal displaying some unusual characteristics just to routinely check with a doctor just to make sure that you're okay?
Well, anytime you're bitten by a mammal, a wild animal, a stray dog or cat, even if the animal is behaving normally, I mean, you always want to check it out with a physician. A dog or cat and some wild animals, even though they appear healthy, they can be acting totally normally, and yet they can be transmitting rabies virus. They can have the rabies virus in the saliva. So you always need to check it out with a physician who should do a rabies risk assessment to see whether or not you need the anti-rabies series of shots. And then, of course, there's other considerations with a dirty bite wound from an animal. Certainly just a general bacterial infection is a concern. You might need to be put on a course of antibiotics. And then tetanus is a major concern as well. So you need to make sure that your tetanus vaccination is up to date. So certainly the word is to always check with a physician following an animal bite or, you know, a possible exposure to rabies. Bats are another problem unto themselves. Certainly most of the bats in the wild are not rabid. It's estimated that well under 1% of the bats in the wild are rabid, and certainly they fill a vital ecological need, but a bat can give a very tiny bite wound that may go unnoticed or undetected, and if a person awakens to find a bat in the room where they've been sleeping, or the bat may be found in the room where there's an unattended child or maybe a person who is incapacitated, but for whatever reason, if the person is unable to clearly say whether the bat did or did not bite them, then they need to contact animal control or the local health department so that somebody can come out and capture the bat and have the bat tested for rabies rather than just releasing the bat to the outdoors. This could save people from having to undergo the anti-rabies series of shots needlessly.
Well, is there a blood test that a person can take that tells them immediately if they've been exposed?
No, there's no blood test or anything like that. If a person is suspected of having rabies, then there's a number of tests that they would do. I mean, they can test the blood, and they can check the cerebral spinal fluid and some other things as well, but by then it's too late. Those are used to diagnose rabies, and, you know, rabies is virtually 100% fatal in humans once the symptoms begin. So there's no kind of a test that would do any good in terms of preventing rabies. If you've had a possible rabies exposure, you need to get the anti-rabies series of shots before symptoms develop.
You know, in years past, it was almost a cliche to say painful series of rabies shots, but has that technology improved to where they're not quite as bad as they used to be?
Well, for about the last, actually, 30 years, there's been a new type of vaccine that has been available. And it still amazes me how many people do, refer to, people getting the 26 shots in the stomach and things like that. And that, like I say, that has not happened since around 1980. The present series of shots consists of 5 to 7 shots over about a 21 to 28 day period. And that protocol is in the process of changing, so it's decreasing by one shot. CDC has yet to make that official, but bottom line is that it is a series of shots, not nearly as many shots as it used to be, but it's still a series of shots. And so they are like any shot. They can be a bit painful. People can have a reaction to them anytime you get any kind of a vaccination or whatever, rabies or otherwise. There's the possibility of side effects. So you don't want the series of shots unless you have to get them. And of course, it's fairly expensive as well, anywhere from like $3,000 to $5,000 for the series of shots. So a bit of pain associated with it, not without risk, and it's expensive. So we do all that we can do to prevent getting bitten by an animal in the first place, and thereby obviously having being able to avoid getting the series of shots.
Is it still common practice if you're able to capture the animal to observe it for 10 days or however long it was?
That just applies to dogs, cats, and ferrets. The standard 10 days from the date of the bite just applies to those three types of animals. It certainly does not apply to any wild animal. And if a person is bitten by livestock, like people get bitten by horses and such, and we address those on a case-by-case basis. Rabies in cattle and horses is fairly common. We've had more rabid horses in the state over the last few years than we've had most other domestic species. So dogs, cats, and ferrets, we can quarantine them for 10 days. Other species we handle on a case-by-case basis. A wild animal is always going to be euthanized and the brain tested for rabies.
Is that 10 days endangering the person who might have been infected at all? Is that too long a time?
There has, according to CDC, there has never been a treatment failure utilizing that type of a quarantine period and, utilizing the anti-rabies series of shots that we currently have. In other words, there has never been a situation where, say the animal was under quarantine for 10 days, developed symptoms on day 9, and then treatment did not work for the person. That has never happened before.
As I recall, in past times when we've done stories about this, folks have talked about how watching out for these wild animals that are showing aberrant behavior, that are being unusually aggressive or are not backing down like most natural animals do. Is that still an operative way to judge whether these animals could be dangerous?
Well, certainly most animals with rabies, wild or domestic, are going to be showing, strange behavior. If it's a domestic animal, an animal that is normally very friendly and outgoing might become reclusive or vice versa. In terms of wild animals, some of the classical signs that we see are the nocturnal animal, being seen out in the daytime, or wild animals losing their fear of people, or skunk might approach the farm dogs, and not have any fear of the farm dogs. So certainly changes in behavior like that can be an indicator of rabies. They can be an indicator of other diseases as well. And as I had mentioned earlier, it is also possible for an animal to not be showing any signs of rabies, to have absolutely normal behavior, and still be, still have rabies virus in the saliva, still be capable of transmitting rabies virus if it bites somebody.
Is biting the only way? I'm thinking, for example, somebody who might kill a fox that's rabid and decide to skin the fox. Is there any exposure they can get that way to rabies? Or for that matter, killing a skunk and skinning the skunk, although I can't think of why I'd want to do that.
Certainly, the main route of exposure is through a bite wound, but there are non-bite routes as well that can occur. The rabies virus is only found in two tissues in the animal. It's found in the saliva and it's found in nervous tissue. The rabies virus is not found in the blood, urine, or feces. So if there was a rabid animal, was hit by a car or something, and there was blood on the sidewalk or something, and a child touched it, the blood would not be a source of infection. But if somebody were, as you said, skinning out, say a raccoon and, cut through a major nerve, cut through the spinal cord, cut through some nervous tissue, and then cut themselves, then it could be transmitted that way. But then, that would just apply to trappers, hunters, veterinarians who might be working on animals, things like that, if they were, for example, removing the head to send it in for testing. People do need to be cautious about saliva from a rabbit or possibly rabbit animal getting into a mucous membrane, like if, saliva were to splash into the eyes, nose, or mouth, or if they had cuts or abrasions, whatever, on their hands and got saliva. Let's say they're trying to put a pill down a cat's mouth, and the cat has rabies, or it's a rabid cow and it's, slobbering, frothing, shaking its head, and the slobber goes flying into your face. That would be a possible route of exposure there as well. And these things happen all the time. So, people need to be cautious about animals and, the fact that they might have rabies.
Okay. Well, it's been a while since I've talked to you, and I appreciate your time. Is there anything else in the animal-human health chain here that you folks are paying any close attention to, as long as I have you on the phone here?
Oh, I don't know that there's anything new. Yeah. I mean, just still trying to get people to vaccinate their pets. That's the main thing here is to, get the dogs and cats vaccinated so that they don't pick up rabies from wildlife, and bring it back into the home. We get this, vaccination barrier if people vaccinate the dogs and cats. And, special emphasis on kids. Kids go out there and do the darndest things. They're not afraid of wild animals or stray dogs and cats. They'll pick up a sick bat or a dead bat and bring it home, and to take, have their picture taken with it, or to throw it at their friend, or to put it in their backpack and take it to school, and all these things have happened. So, and kids around stray dogs, especially kids are small children are most susceptible, as you might guess, to severe injury from dogs, dog attacks, because a dog and a little kid, they're about the same height, and little children tend to get bites to the face and neck and the head, very severe bites, whereas an adult would, kick at the dog and might get bitten on the foot or something, or the hand, but it's not a bite to the face. So teaching kids, to beware of wild animals, stray pets, if they do get bitten, report it to an adult right away.